Welcome to the broadcast. Brother Eric John Phelps here today, coming to you on this April 20th, 2024, from Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. And I trust that we shall have a most interesting broadcast today, as it will be deviating somewhat from what I normally do. But first of all, I want to preach to you and for you the Word of God, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. For in him alone only is there salvation, and there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in beginning, I want to preach my message on everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty. We read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, that is the gospel, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Dear listener, this broadcast is dedicated to a dear friend of mine that I haven't seen for many years. Her name is Autumn. She's been a victim of mind control and MK Ultra programming by the CIA. And she texted me today, and I thought, okay, Autumn, this is going to be for you. And I want you to know what's going to happen to your handlers, what they have done to you, how they have persecuted you, how they have programmed you, and they are going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what's coming for you guys. Now, if you want to escape the lake of fire, because it's a real place, it's no joke, you must realize a few things. First of all, in John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ says that all judgment has been given to him. The Lord Jesus Christ will judge every man. The Father will judge no man. If you're not saved and you die in your unsaved state, you will never see God the Father. You will only see God the Son, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, at the great white throne judgment, eye to eye. We read in John chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him, which is, by the way, a universal condemnation of Islam as it exists today, of Judaism as it exists today, and of Romanism, because the son of Romanism, the Jesus Christ of Romanism, is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. So the major religions of the world, all the people in the major religions of the world, are going to be judged by the risen Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. A little further in the Gospel of John, we read in chapter 5, verses 27 through 29, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto a resurrection of life. That's the first resurrection. And they that have done evil unto a resurrection of damnation, that is the second resurrection. The resurrection of damnation. Where do we find anything about that? We find it in Revelation chapter 20. After the millennial kingdom of Christ, Gog of Magog attacking Jerusalem, the world capital for 1,000 years, the Lord rains fire upon all those sinners. He cast the Satan himself then into the lake of fire where the beast already is. And then we get to a time, to a place. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. This involves the resurrection of damnation, the resurrection of condemnation, the resurrection of all the dead who stand there to have all their words, all their deeds reviewed by the Lord Jesus Christ and his true church, the body of Christ, as the books are brought out and everything is reviewed, and it will be an inquest concerning all the dead standing before Christ at this time. That's why you better pray he's not resurrected from the dead, all you unsaved wicked sinners and assassins and murderers and papal slaves of the Black Pope, raping and pillaging and plundering this world every day, because you are going to be judged by him. Kill all you want, deny all you want, you're going to stand before the risen Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne, because you're going to have be a part of the resurrection of damnation. And I'll name some of you sinners here in a few moments. We read Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place to go. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. So here are all the dead, with a resurrection glorified body, standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at this resurrection of damnation, and their names will be called. Frank DeMasi, step forth. Edward Kennedy, step forth. And a host of others. Frank C. Carlucci, step forth. George Herbert Walker Bush, step forth. George W. Bush, step forth. And many others. A few more I'll name. And they're going to step forth, and they're going to have their lives reviewed and all the things they've ever done, and then they will be given their degree of the lake of fire. There are degrees of the lake of fire. Men will be rewarded. These dead men, these condemned men, will be rewarded according to their works, because nobody's getting away with anything. I saw the dead stand, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. Because remember, Christ has the keys of death and hell, and he uses those keys, he's going to open them up, and all the dead are going to be brought out of there. The dead was the physical death, and they're in hell. That's where their souls and spirits are. They're going to be reunited, given bodies, glorified bodies. They're going to stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne, and they'll never see God the Father, ever. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Do you want that to happen to you? Do you want to be before the judge of all, the one who personally died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and has given you a way of escape, but you rejected it, and you rejected him, and you mocked him, and you took his name in vain, and laughed at him every day? Oh, don't worry, don't wonder, you're going to be there, and you're going to see the one you blasphemed every day. and you're going to be scared to death, and you ought to be. And death and hell, those places that the Lord has the keys of in Revelation chapter 1, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. There is a place in space called the lake of fire. The Lord created it once Lucifer fell and devastated the beautiful earth that God had created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That earth became formless and void, empty, because of the fall of Lucifer. And now Lucifer lost his body as a cherub, as the covering cherub that he was, the most beautiful of God's creation, the greatest of the five cherubim that the Lord created. When he fell, he lost his body. He became a disembodied spirit. He's the God of this world. He's the prince and power of the air. There's no creature greater than him, no creation greater than him. He's greater than the archangels. He's greater than the other cherubim. He's greater than all the angels. The only one he's not greater than is the man, Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, sitting at the right hand of his Father on his Father's throne right now, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The one to whom all authority in earth has been given. The one who has the keys of death and hell. The one whose name, there's no name other than his name whereby men must be saved. Namely, believing that he died for your sins personally. He died as though he committed all of your filthy sins. That he was buried, he really died. And that he rose again the third day. And now is at the right hand of his Father, expecting his enemies, you men in the CIA, you men in MKUltra, you men in all the intelligence communities, running the intelligence communities at the top for the Pope and his Jesuits, you're his enemies. Every time you look in the mirror, you should say, enemy, I'm an enemy of God. I'm an enemy of Jesus Christ. That's right, because you are. And you're going to end up as his enemy at this place right here, the great white throne. And don't think for one second that when you die, you're dead as a dog. Oh, no, you're not that fortunate. No, he's going to resurrect you. Christ said there's coming a day when everybody in the grave is going to hear the voice of the Son of Man, some to a resurrection of righteousness and others to the resurrection of damnation. The righteous, those that are saved, to life with Christ, and the damned, the unsaved, the condemned, to a resurrection of damnation. And before he sends you to the lake of fire, he's going to review every one of your works, all of your murders, all of your rapes, all of your fornications, all of your adulteries, all of your pedophilia, all of your homosexuality, all of your sexual sins, all of your thefts. All of it's going to be reviewed. And there's no time in eternity, so there's no concept of time. This could be going on for, who knows, 100,000 years. Who cares? It's going to be the great white throne judgment. The great, awful, terrible white throne judgment. And we read in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, is his name in the book of life? It does not appear. Then cast him into the lake of fire. Who's going to do that? Some mighty angel is going to fly over, grab him, fly over the lake of fire, and drop him in there. That's what's going to happen. That's reality. Because it's in this book. And this book is not a book of religion. It's a book of reality. It's what's happened, what's happening today, and what's going to happen in the future. And right here in Revelation 20 is what's going to happen in the future. That's right, Knights. That's right, Knights of Malta. That's what's coming for you. That's what's coming after you, high-level Freemasons, 33rd degree. Especially those of you that desecrated the cross and went deeper into Freemasonry, into the 90th degree and the Rite of Mizraim and Memphis, and all that sin, you're going to be resurrected to stand before Jesus Christ after your master, the devil, has already been cast into the lake of fire. You're going to meet him there, but not after you have your proper judgment as a man, because you see, as a man, you're in the image of God. This is what makes mankind different than all the animals, the angels, the cherubim, because only we have his image. And therefore, having the image of God, we are going to be given this righteous judgment by the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the white throne, where there's no place for forgiveness, there's no place for mercy. In Revelation 4, the Father sits on a throne with a rainbow around it. There's a place of mercy and grace, but not here. Christ is sitting on a great white throne. And he is going to be sitting in judgment against his enemies. And so therefore, I've been wanting to bring this message for a couple days. And with the text from Autumn today, I thought, well, this is as good a time as any. I want you to know that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible teaches us that as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's the second coming. Just as it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, there's going to be a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely, undeniably true. And when the smoke clears, he'll be sitting in Jerusalem as the King of Jerusalem, the King of the world, sitting on the throne of David, ruling the world with a rod of iron, and all nations and all kings will serve him, and they'll come up to him every year at the Feast of the Tabernacles with their gifts, and they will worship him and do homage to him. Isaiah chapter 2, Zechariah chapter 14, and many other places. But for those of you men that are hell-bent and determined to iniquity, my message is specially for you today. Now, I watched a special on Netflix, I believe, titled The Octopus Murders. It's in four different sessions. And the octopus murders concerned a group that Danny Casolaro, a Roman Catholic, an Italian Roman Catholic unsaved man, had the courage enough to begin to expose, and was doing a thorough investigation on this octopus when he was lured by an assassin into West Virginia, where he was assassinated in a hotel, killed by a military assassin, whose name I'll tell you a little later, and then it was covered up after one wrist was slashed 8 times and the other wrist, the right wrist, was slashed 4 times, so that the hand was just hanging there, and there's no way he could have killed himself. But you see, the Freemasons down there in West Virginia, working for the intelligence communities, are going to do exactly what they're told to do, because they're a bunch of cowards, and they have the fear of man, and they're afraid to die when resisting wickedness and evil. The Bible teaches us, those of us in Christ, especially us Calvinists, that we are to resist unto blood, striving against sin. And that's not only our blood, but it's their blood too. And so we read, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this is judgment. Listen, all you wicked sinners, all you CIA ops, all you NSA boys at the top, all you Defense Intelligence Agency criminals, you're going to be judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. You're not getting out of anything. There was a book written called The Man to See, and it's about a powerful knight of Malta in this country. His name was Edward Bennett Williams. He did all the litigation work for the Jesuits, Georgetown. This guy was a powerful knight of Malta. LBJ wanted to make him the mayor of District of Columbia. And when Edward Bennett Williams was on his deathbed, he said, well, I guess I'm really going to meet the man who runs everything. No, you're not, Edward Bennett. You're going to be in hell. You're boiling there right now. You're in agony in this flame, pursuant to Luke chapter 16. And you're going to meet him at the Great White Throne Judgment. So Edward Bennett Williams and all his coadjutors and the J. Peter Graces and every last one of them, the William F. Buckleys and the William J. Casey, and the James J. Rowleys and all these other knights in places of high position in the intelligence community, they're suffering there in agony, especially they have their hands in the Kennedy assassination. They participated in the assassination and cover-up. Along with another man named Robert Booth Nichols. Robert Booth Nichols, I understand, is still alive, according to Rikanashita. But either way, all you guys are headed to the lake of fire. You're so tough, you're so bad, you get to commit murders. You think you're getting away with it? Listen, it's all being written down by the angels in heaven. They're writing it in the books, the scrolls that are there, all categorized in a place of immediate access, a million times more effective than any high-grade computer can dream of being. Yeah, it's all there, waiting to be brought out at the Great White Throne. So don't think you're getting away with anything, boys. So this Octopus Murders has to do with the murder of Danny Casolaro, who was an honest man, Italian Roman Catholic, came from an Italian Roman Catholic family. And he was murdered in Martinsburg, West Virginia, in a hotel, where he was lured there by a supposed contact who then brutally murdered and cut his wrist and he bled to death. You got to watch the series. Well, it all starts out with a guy with a company called Insula. And they had developed what's called the Promise Software. And it turns out that the Justice Department had stole this Promise Software from Insula, Inslaw. And the question is why? Well, it turns out that the owner of Insula was Bill Hamilton. Danny and Bill Hamilton used to talk every day. But Bill Hamilton didn't know what he had. And it's a software where they can follow every criminal arrest of anybody. But it's even more than that. Promise Software would later be used on the submarines in the military. Promise Software would be given to Bin Laden, would be given to the Muslim groups also, so that the Pope's NSA can follow everybody that has Promise Software, which includes Russian intelligence. You guys in Russia, you're just an appendage of the Pope's NSA, CIA. That's why William J. Casey visited the head of the KGB years ago in the 1980s, because you boys are working together. You work together for the Pope against your own domestic populations. So these Octopus Murders, because Danny was talking to Bill Hamilton. Bill Hamilton told him about the story where the Justice Department stole his Promise Software, wouldn't pay him. Justice Department owed him some $8 million, broke the company so that they could steal the software and make it part of their military intelligence. That's what you have when you have Roman Catholics running your country. Theft everywhere. Dishonesty everywhere. Murder everywhere. Rape everywhere. That's why the Mafia and the CIA work together. That's why Jim Garrison properly discovered, hey, the Mafia and the CIA working together. I tell you, that speech given by Joe Pesci in the movie JFK is classic. The Mafia and the CIA working together. They've been doing it for years. Well, this exactly surfaces in the Octopus Murders. And it turns out that this Robert Booth Nichols is a liaison between the Mafia and the CIA, just as David Ferry was a liaison between the Mafia and the CIA. It's like Albert Vincent Caron, that Knight of Malta, was a liaison between the Mafia and the CIA. Albert Vincent Caron was a Knight of Malta and a personal friend with William J. Casey. William J. Casey was trained by Jesuits at Fordham. You think the Jesuits just cut him loose after he became the head of the CIA, that Knight of Malta, William J. Casey? He continued to report to the Jesuits. That's like Albert Vincent Caron. The Jesuits run the mafia and the CIA through the Pope's high papal knights of Malta and others. And it's this network that killed Kennedy. It's this network that killed Malcolm X in 1965. It's this network that killed Martin Luther King in 1968 because he became disobedient. And it's this network that killed Robert Kennedy in 1968. And it's this network that killed Danny Casolaro in 1991. And it's this network that killed Gary Webb when he wrote his great work, Dark Alliance, that killed him, what, in 2004, thereabouts. Shot in the head and he committed suicide, shooting himself twice in the back of the head. Yeah, you tell me about it. It's this network. It's what Casolaro rightly called the octopus. And the ones in this octopus that he delineates, the names that he gives as far as the octopus, are eight men. The first one, Ray Klein, CIA. Next one, Richard Helms, CIA, used to be the director. He was involved in the Kennedy assassination cover-up. He's the one that later on says that Knight of Malta Clay Shaw, head of the trademark in New Orleans, was a contract agent for the CIA, which Jim Garrison tried him, wanted to try him and prove at the trial in New Orleans, but he had an Irish Catholic judge there named James Haggerty who would not allow the evidence to be put in that case. Thank you, Catholic! Thank you, Irish Catholic Haggerty! Even though he went on to say, I didn't believe a word of the testimony of Clay Shaw, because he's got orders. The orders are, keep evidence from being admitted that would convict Knight of Malta Clay Shaw from being part of the Kennedy assassination. And of course, Shaw dies suddenly later on, a few years later, and he doesn't even get an autopsy, just like Danny Casolaro. We're going to kill Casolaro, and we won't even give him an autopsy. Yeah, that's right. It's like we're going to kill a host of other people, but never give them an autopsy. Because you do that, and you're going to find out that maybe there was some foul play, maybe it's murder, but we have to cover it all up. Because the Vatican and their knights and their secret societies are great in covering up murder. They love it. I'm a conspiracy theorist? Are you kidding? I'm a conspiracy factualist. And you fools who don't believe in a conspiracy do not believe true history and the hundreds of books that call the papacy a conspiracy against the nations and rights of man continually, as Chenecke did in his great work, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, and other works that I document in my book, Vatican Assassins. You deny conspiracy, you're stupid. You're dumb. And you're afraid of the mockers that want to tag you with that little tag. He's a conspiracy theorist. Are you a coincidence theorist? You think things happen by coincidence? You think wars just begin by coincidence, huh? Are you that stupid? This series goes on. And in one place, I believe it's in the third of the four series, this individual, this Robert Philip Nichols, why can't I remember? Robert Booth Nichols invites another lady up there who's an investigative journalist, Sherry Seymour, and she's shown the real Zapruder tape where the driver turns around and shoots Kennedy in the head. She said, it was slowed down, I saw it, I saw the bullet leave the gun and shoot Kennedy in the head, I know what I saw. And this Nichols tells him that this is the real Zapruder film. This is the real Zapruder film that the man who wrote Behold the Pale Horse, William Cooper, he saw the same film. Oh, but we can't believe the driver did the shooting. We can't believe Greer did the shooting. No, can't believe that. Oh, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. Cover up the facts by putting out a denunciation that you're a conspiracy theorist. And for those of you who fall for that, you don't deserve to be free. You deserve to be governed by these savages that hate you and that eat you for lunch every day and that jack up your money every day so it becomes worth less and less every day. So you got to work harder and harder and harder as a slave just to get your food. That's right. That's what they want because they hate you, enemy belligerent. So this guy, he shows the film to Sherry Seymour. And by the way, this very man, Robert Booth Nichols, had a part in Steven Seagal's movie of Under Siege. So Steven Seagal is just as much a part of this network. He's in a picture with Robert Booth Nichols. They're posing together. And Robert Booth Nichols has some lines in there around the table of the Joint Chiefs of Staff where if Honolulu is hit by a Tomahawk missile, they'll have all these people in 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And of course, remember, there's no such thing as airborne nuclear war. There's no such thing as nuclear missiles. There's no such thing as shooting missiles with nuclear tips that are going to detonate. That's all a ruse of war. That's a lie. There's no such thing as airborne nuclear war. All nukes are detonated on the ground at a certain time in the right harmonic relationship to the sun. Period. End of story. But they want to put fear and terror into us, then there can be a universal nuclear war. You don't believe me? Get the book. Get the book by Bruce Cathy, C-A-T-H-I-E. He was a New Zealand pilot. He wrote the great work, Harmonic 33, and another one, Harmonic 495. Get them. Read them. And read the novel, not the fiction, called The Jesus Factor, where the theme of the book is that nukes don't detonate. And Dirty Harry Truman said they probably didn't even detonate anyway. That 33rd degree Freemason. Get the book, The Jesus Factor. So all these guys are part of a conspiracy to get us full of fear and terror. They're working for the Pope's intelligence network. So who are these eight men that Danny Casolaro said, this is the octopus? First one is Ray Klein, CIA. Second, Richard Helms, CIA. Third, Thomas Kleins, CIA. Fourth, Theodore Shackley, CIA. And he was involved in the Kennedy assassination cover-up. George Pender, he's another one, CIA. George Herbert Walker Bush, that Knight of Malta, that head of the CIA for a while. E. Howard Hunt, CIA officer and overseer and facilitator in the Kennedy assassination, whose son just happened to have a godfather named William F. Buckley, a Knight of Malta, skull and bonesman. That's William F. Buckley, a firing line. But then you have the last one, William J. Casey. William J. Casey is probably the most sinister of all. William J. Casey was CIA, he was OSS during World War II, working with Wild Bill Donovan, another papal knight. Turns into the CIA with 1947 with the National Security Act, signed into law by dirty 33rd degree Harry Truman. And William J. Casey was educated by Jesuits at Fordham. William J. Casey was involved in the Kennedy assassination. William J. Casey was involved in Project Paperclip to bring all these Nazis over here after World War II, particularly the SS. William J. Casey was involved with Francis Cardinal Spellman, who was the American Pope who oversaw the Kennedy assassination. William J. Casey was involved in the Iran-Contra affair. And you can read about his hand in it in an article by National Catholic Reporter with the Iran-Contra affair with William J. Casey. And so this now dovetails right in with Danny Casolaro, because he proves that you have the Iran-Contra affair taking a place with this octopus. He goes on to tell you that this octopus controls the mafia, the Sicilian mafia, as well as the Japanese Yakuza, as well as the Chinese triads. They're all controlled by the papacy through their secret knights. They control the government and they control the secret societies, making a fortune off crime, murder, adultery, prostitution, dope, drugs, pharmakia. And the great works of the tribulation are murder, theft, pharmakia, sorcery, drugs, and fornication. Everything that this octopus promotes. So we go on. We see here that in the Reagan administration, there are several Knights of Malta. One of them is Alexander Haig. His brother's a Jesuit, was a Jesuit at Loyola in Baltimore. You got Ronald Reagan, who was made a Knight of Malta in 1989. You can watch it on the YouTube where he's made a knight because he served the papacy like the good little boy slave that he was. Recognizing sovereign state of Vatican City as a nation state so you can have an ambassador over there. And the first one was William Wilson, that knight of Malta. And then you have George Bush, skull and bones, knight of Malta. Got a picture of George Bush with Andrew Bertie, the head of the Knights of Malta back in the 1980s. They're all knights, people. They run the Justice Department. And when you run justice, you decide who you want to prosecute and who you want to let loose. Well, this Robert Booth Nichols is very interesting because he was later charged with some crimes and he was interviewed. And in this interview, you can watch it on this special of The Octopus, he said, "I'm a facilitator and this was never to happen." Well, I want to tell you something, Robert Booth Nichols. These sinners will turn on you and anybody else they want to when they want to. Don't you think for one second you're going to be safe if you're obedient to them? You're expendable. It's like the devil. Once the devil's finished using his servants, he gets rid of them. He doesn't need you. He wants to glorify himself. So after you've served him, he has no thanks to you. He's just using you to begin serving the devil and to fulfill his mystery of iniquity. And his mystery of iniquity is to be consummated when his Antichrist comes to power in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the final pope of Rome, slain with a sword, risen from the dead, possessed by Satan, cast out of heaven to the earth, and that's going to be 42 months of hell on earth yet coming. So, this octopus that Danny Casolaro wrote of is the same octopus that will murder Gary Webb, who wrote the tremendous book Dark Alliance, showing the connection of the CIA with the Contras and the gun running. And by the way, for you black men that might be listening, it's the same octopus that ran all the crack cocaine into your black communities to further wreck your people. But none of your black leaders have the guts enough to tell you it's the Pope's intelligence community run by Papal Knights of Malta and other knights. They don't want to tell you that because that's going to go right now to Prince Hall Wright Freemasonry of all those black boys because they're busy serving the white power structure and they don't want to be fingered like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackass and a host of these other sinners. That's right. They don't want to be fingered either. So they're going to keep you down, boy. Back to Revelation 20. All of you guys involved in murdering Danny Casolaro, involved in all the other murder with your assassins that the FBI protects, assassins like, the one who murdered another individual. His name is, he was murdered. Paul Maresco was murdered. The murderer who did it was Jason Smith. Turns out he's a hired assassin for the CIA, for the FBI. His real name was Philip Arthur Thompson. This is the assassin that killed Paul Maresco. And he never gets prosecuted. Robbing, raping, murdering, and assassinating, the FBI protects him. Since when is the FBI a legitimate operation? Huh? It was a criminal operation from the beginning, headed up by a Bonaparte, and then later, that sodomite J. Edgar Hoover, 33rd degree Freemason. Yeah, it's always been a corrupt organization. There's some lower level agents that are decent, but at the top, man, it's dirty, filthy, run by the Pope and his Archbishop in New York City. They mention Wackenhut here, too. Robert Booth Nichols was involved with Wackenhut. And who runs Wackenhut? Well, George Wackenhut, he was its president. He was a former FBI agent. Wackenhut controls all the prisons. And on this Wackenhut board, you got who? William P. Casey. Good night, Malta. You got another one, Robert E. Chasen. Got another one, Bobby Ray Inman. He was the head of the NSA and an admiral. You got James J. Rowley. James J. Rowley was a Knight of Malta, and his brother, Frank Rowley, I believe, was a Jesuit. Rowley's brother was a Jesuit, and James J. Rowley was overseeing the Secret Service at the time of the Kennedy assassination, according to the book on Hoover. He tells that James J. Rowley and the head of the Secret Service and Cartha Deakey Deloach met together at Georgetown University with Daniel Power, a Jesuit, to work out things between the FBI and Secret Service. They're all working together. The name of the book is Hoover's FBI by Cartha Deakey Deloach, another Knight of Malta. You got Clarence M. Kelly, FBI. You got Chesterfield Smith. Chesterfield Smith was the head of Chemical Bank. Chemical Bank is where all the Knights of Malta did their banking, including W.R. Grace and Company, with J. Peter Grace, the head of the Knights of Malta in the 60s. You got Joseph P. Carroll. Joseph P. Carroll was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency at the time of the Kennedy assassination. Now he's on the board of Wackenhut, another Irish Roman Catholic, Papal Knight of Malta. Frank C. Carlucci, Jr., he was deputy director of the CIA on this board of Wackenhut, another Knight of Malta, also involved in 9/11. You got John S. Amaral, FBI, and you got Cyril L. Wecht, I believe, J.C. Penney. All these guys are on Wackenhut. The Pope's Wackenhut, run by Knights of Malta. And the big boy was William J. Casey at the time, William P. Casey at the time. Wackenhut, the Octopus, Casey, trained by Jesuits, all involved in BCCI, Bank of Credit and Commerce International, and Nugenhand Bank in Australia, all run by the Knights for the Pope. My friend Joel Bannerman wrote a book on George W. Bush, mentioned a lot of BCCI in his book. So you have this list of these intelligence network powerhouses, all of them serving the Pope. Robert Booth Nichols was one of them, and he was betrayed. And so I want to tell you guys that they will betray you anytime they think it's necessary. No matter how obedient you are, when push comes to shove, they'll cast you into the pot of destruction. Which brings me to my final conclusion. All of you guys in the intelligence communities are doomed and condemned, and when you die, you're going straight to hell, to Hades, to a place of fire and suffering. Read about it. It's in Luke 16. That's no parable. And you're going to wait there and wait and wait and wait in agony until you hear the voice of the Son of Man come up hither, and you're going to be resurrected out of that place and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And you will stand before him and give account of every idle word and everything you ever did. And you ought to be scared to death, because that's what's going to happen to you, because it's appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die, and it's appointed unto man to have the afterwards judgment. The judgment of condemnation, the judgment of damnation. And you will dwell in the house of the damned forever in the lake of fire, remembering everything you ever did. Is that what you want? You murderers of Danny Casolaro? You murderers of the great author of the book Dark Alliance, Gary Webb? And you murderers of a host of others? You murderers who brought down Flight 100? I won't say your name, but you know who you are. You brought it down. You killed all those guys on orders of some knight, taking an order from the Black Pope. Yeah. Why not? In the Pope's emergency war powers, military government doing what the Pope wants these leaders to do. And I challenge you that if you don't want to spend the rest of eternity in the house of the damned in the lake of fire, you need to repent. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. To have a genuine sorrow and contrition for your sins and for your wickedness. To the end that you would truly by faith believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. And upon believing that gospel, the Lord will forgive you all your sins, place you in the body of Christ, declare you righteous and spotless and without any such thing. Ephesians chapter 1. Don't you want to have that? Don't you want to have your sins forgiven? That mafioso that killed the Pope, he was a member of the Gambino family, Colombo family. He can be saved too. He wrote the bullet. He wrote the book, When the Bullet Hits the Bone. My friend, if you believe the gospel, the Lord will save you too. In conclusion, harden not your hearts, ye wicked men, because the day is coming for you that unless you truly repent and believe the gospel by faith, you're doomed forever. And there will be no purgatory. Will be nobody to pray you out of there. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to lock the key on the place, and you are finished in the lake of fire. Do you want that, what you deserve, or do you want to have grace and forgiveness? Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. It's a great song. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. It can abound to you today, my friend. You can have the grace of God today. You can have your sins forgiven today. You can be placed in the body of Christ today. You can be saved by grace and not of works, lest you should ever brag about. Why not believe the gospel? Why not accept the offer of God today to believe on His Son? It's my prayer that you will. Until we meet again, Brother Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio. It is April 20th, 2024, Maranatha.